guest will be a bitch in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hey everyone, welcome to We The People, your podcast destination for all things Nintendo. My name is Michael Cottrell, and I'm joined here by my twin brother, player two since the womb, Matthew Cottrell. Great. Alright, so we're coming at you with the latest Nintendo impressions and other fun topics for your listening pleasure every Wednesday morning. So if you like that, go to thebentoblock.com to access content across YouTube and iTunes. You can also write into the show with your questions and comments at thebentoblock.com/podcast. We have a Patreon because we love doing this sort of content and we'd love to get paid to do it. So if you're so inclined, toss us a buck. We'd really appreciate it. Is there anything, any housekeeping stuff I missed?
Throw us a fucking buck.
That, yeah. Okay, so. Matthew?
Michael?
How the hell are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm just,
Look sad in your sweater there.
I got nothing.
All right. Sad in the sweater audience. Speaking of sweaters, it's getting colder here. I like that. I like the fall weather.
The weather's been a little indecisive. I came out dressed in this, and I was eating my lunch at Chipotle today. You know, felt good. I'm like, let me go sit outside. I'm like, God damn it, it's hot.
Yeah, the sunlight. Yeah, the sun's angry, like Super Mario Bros. 3.
It's what made Exeggutor grow so tall.
So anyway,
fucking stupid ideas.
This is the part where you ask me how I'm doing.
How the fuck are you?
I'm good. I'm taking care of the baby boo in there. She's sleeping. Hopefully she sleeps through this podcast. And if you guys hear it, that's her.
It's because we do this for you. We're doing this shit from his home. So
from my home. This is personal.
That's why we need a buck, man. We need bucks.
We need a buck. This countertop is really small, and we need to move from it. So in any case, let's move on to the first portion of the show. Gotta just lay something down here, guys. Last week we did a show on what was it, Tuesday night? We do shows on Tuesday nights, upload them Wednesday morning, or as close to Wednesday morning as we could get. And what was it? Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday morning. Thursday morning, sure. Nintendo drops the Nintendo Switch on us. So this episode is actually going to be a little bit shorter because we did a bonus episode you can find on our YouTube channel and in the podcast that you're listening to.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. 42 minutes short and sweet. I don't know how long this will be. But just laying that down as a disclaimer, we're not going to talk about the general NX, some news items that have come from and some later impressions that we've developed. But if you want to get our full reactions, check out the YouTube channel. Check out everything on thebentoblock.com. Check my body out.
My body.
Yeah, all that stuff. So, without further ado, it's time to jump in our first segment of the show. Now playing. Matthew, the hell have you been playing? Nothing. Pokemon Go, right?
No, I was just like, I mean, I've been playing Pokemon Go. Man, you know what sucks about that game? That I play it all the time and I'm addicted.
There's a Charmander nest by my apartment. So I'm like, bro, I gotta get back in this shit. I gotta get some
Charmander
manders.
Nest will do that to you.
Yeah, man. There's something about Charmander nests in Atlanta just because there's fucking none of them. So when one shows up that's actually in like a, you know, reasonable location, everybody, you know, jumps on board. So yeah, that's all I've pretty much been playing lately. You know, I turned on the old Donkey Kong again, got me a couple levels in, got me a little couple
where
puzzle
are you
pieces.
In the world?
I am in the middle of World 3.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Reasonable. What the hell is it, like the Sahara? No, not the long. Sahara, what the hell am I talking about? Savannah.
Yeah.
Sahara's a desert.
I mean, it kind of looks like a desert, but that's cool. Donkey Kong is cool. I want to get back into that too. There's a Wii U back catalog that we had to cover. And sometime before the NS comes out, You see what I did there? Is the NX and now it's the NS? It doesn't sound all that different. So once the NS comes out, before then, we need to make like a top five favorite Wii U games segment or something. Do a cool video about it.
That would definitely be my favorite.
But until then, I'm going to be playing the one or two releases we've got left before that date. So speaking of that, I've been playing Paper Mario Color Splash more. I am through the second star, so I think there's five or six of them. So I'm making some progress through the game. I've officially decided that I don't care about filling in every color spot. If I do it, cool. If not, I don't care, because the only thing the game rewards you with, I believe, besides completion, is some soundtrack or something in the museum. Which, the museum is such a hassle to get to. You gotta go in an alleyway, you gotta go in the door, you gotta go in the secret passageway through that door just to get to the museum. It's kind of annoying, Matthew. I don't like it. I don't really have any new information for you regarding the game. It seems like the game has surprised me with all it's gonna surprise me with. And I'll say that the puzzles are cool. The overall levels are, you know, it's a good game. It's a good game. You eventually get to the boss battles, and the boss battles function like you just fight the guy regularly like you fight any other enemy. And then there's this turning point where if you don't have this one particular card, and if you don't use it at that particular time, you're probably going to die. So at that point, what's the purpose of a boss battle if they're easier than the regular battles? Because all you have to do is, you know, plop one card down at the particular time. So second boss is very easy. I boned him. If you played the game, you know what I mean. If you don't, you're confused, but you might think it's funny that I say I boned something, because it insinuates sexual things. So Paper Mario is cool. I hope this is the last time I talk to you guys about it before I have a full review. So I'm hoping to sometime this week finish that game.
He's gonna get
a significant chunk in. I got a gripe to share with you, Matthew. How long do you have to play a game before you review it? Do you have to get 100% of the way through?
I don't think so, because you already have an idea of how that game's going to play out, and it's not like most games take, you know, it doesn't take you halfway through to get, or it doesn't. Ooh, I can't talk right now. You don't have to get halfway through a game to get to the fun part, typically. Typically, you already understand what a game's going to be and what it is and what it's trying to accomplish with the player, you know, at a certain point in the game. Typically, you don't have to finish it to understand that. I think it matters if you're, like, trying to tell everybody the story of the game. Like, I know when I read reviews for a game like The Last of Us, they want to, like, tell you the plot points and everything like that. For that, it makes sense. But, like, for me, even with, like, Star Fox Zero, it's like, I didn't need to play the entire game to formulate an opinion.
Good. I like that. I like
but
that.
But, you know, Michael's...
I don't have 40 hours to throw it on every game, you know?
No, I was going to say, but, you know, Michael's going to... He's going to keep on splashing, you know?
I'm going to keep on splashing. I'm going to be splashing about the world. I'm going to be splatting things with purple paint.
Splatting around with your favorite bucket of paint. Can
oh my gosh, friend. Huey.
What's his name?
Man, Huey.
What a fucking... Why? What is
because
it?
Hue, color, saturation.
Oh.
Huey. So anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Mario Color Splash is interesting.
That's actually I take that back. I take that fart noise back. That's actually one of the charming things about that game.
You know, I got...
Like
I'll
the
tell you
names
one thing
and
that,
the,
that other,
the jokes.
That bothered me. I got to my first haunted mansion, so I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to see some booze. Going to get those weird dinosaur looking ghosts
boobs?
from Super Mario World. But none of that. Ghost toads.
Oh my god!
There's too many toads in this game.
That's kind of creepy.
So moving on. Been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go. I've fallen out of love with the game officially again. But yeah. I have Pokemon in two gyms. So I feel like, you know, at least once a
Pokemon
day.
Pokemon Go is like
I'm
that.
I'm going to hit that button and get my 20 coins. They've stayed in there for weeks.
Pokemon Go is like that. It's like that ex-girlfriend that you think you want, that you stay away from her for a while. You feel like you miss her. I want her back. I want to bone her again. And then you do it, and you just end up being like, "Why did I do this? Why did I do this to myself?"
It's true. Yeah, I always face that question, and when I have the app open, I'm just like, "Wow." It's getting to the point where where opening the app and waiting for it to load and pressing OK on the screen is almost more trouble than I'm willing to go through.
Just to get the OK messages. I'm just like...
So yeah, that game is... And they're slowly building it into a complete game. They added symbols by the types, so that now that looks cuter. But
Well, it's the catch bonus. That's what it's supposed to tell you.
The catch bonus?
Yeah, yeah. So you get a catch bonus.
Even the battle moves have an icon by them. Oh, so,
I haven't done any gym since
nice
last update.
Nice interface touches, nice aesthetic touches, but you know, they're not really turning that boat around in any sense. I have also been playing Miitomo. If you didn't know, Miitomo lets you get the coins for listening to people's musings on the internet. And so I have been stocking up those coins for any cool shirts that come along.
I feel
along.
Like
Got
you have to
Kirby
be
shirt.
Like the only person playing Miitomo in the
I
world.
I could be, because I think I haven't played the game again, but I think my last time playing this, I may have run out of things that people have said, which is concerning. I think that's how the game works, and I think I've run out of the game. So if, however the hell you friend people on Miitomo, come friend me. I need you to get my platinum points.
Isn't it interesting to think, though, you're like the last Miitomo me on Earth?
I could be. I could very well be. If you play Miitomo, sound off in the comments.
We could, like, create some, like, story off of that. Like, there was some Miitomo apocalypse of, like, zombie me.
You know,
that'd
probably
you're, like,
be a more interesting
you. You're welcome, Nintendo.
Yeah, so... not playing too much. I'm still waiting to get to Mighty Number 9 after I beat Paper Mario. I think that game's co-op, so I'm going to need you for that, Matthew.
I don't think you're going to be feeling so mighty after that game.
No, but I'm morbidly
mighty
curious
mighty disappointment.
About it. So let's jump over to the Roundup. Now, the Roundup.
Roundup!
The Roundup is going to be weak shit today, I'm just going to tell you. Because we had all our NX news and everybody's been radio silent.
There's Switch. Been some Switch, damn interviews. It. It's not NX.
Junichi Masuda, I think he's director on the latest Pokemon game, has done some interviews with Eurogamer, Game Informer, different things like that. There's some interesting things he shared about Pokemon, but nothing really like newsworthy. So if you're curious about that, check it out. We are going to talk about, really, I think, the one major news point today, and we're just going to see where it goes. There's a quote I want to read you, Matthew. It is from a little-known game developer named Bethesda, known for their games such as Skyrim and other Western RPGs that you may have heard of before. The quote reads this, and it's in response to the NX trailer that you guys may have seen. We are happy to have had the opportunity to collaborate with Nintendo on the video. While we are not confirming any specific titles at this time, we are pleased to announce that our partnership with Nintendo and support of the Switch, Bethesda told Games Industry. There's quotes like this from pretty much every major developer, just like, yeah, we support the Switch, until we don't. And, you know, they're not confirming any specific titles at this time. Referencing the very specific title that was very specifically shown in like 40 seconds of game footage at the very specific trailer of the very specific Nintendo Switch, but not confirming any specific titles at this time.
Sounds like they're afraid to you know,
commit.
Yeah, I mean,
which I get it. I mean,
they
don't want to
dip their toes in the water, but they don't want to jump in.
They sure don't.
But you know, that's why I think. Look, man, I'll be honest. I like third-party developers, and I understand from a business standpoint why they do that, but those guys are assholes, man. Like, sure. They want to, they're all they're about is, like, what's successful, and not rightfully so, it's a business, but it's just funny how, like, you know, you get Ubisoft where they're all in support until something's unsuccessful, and then they want to, like, you know, bash it and,
yeah,
and say things about
no,
it.
I wouldn't say that they're, I mean, like, to me, like, it's not even the most assholish thing that they do is just that they're not honest.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
The honest quote here is, we'll support the Switch when we see the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what they're saying. And that Nintendo paid us to do this video. But, you know, there's all sorts of legality. There's all sorts of non-disclosure agreements. And so we don't know the full story of what's happened here. However, we do know that the old Skyrim may or may not be coming to Nintendo Switch. And I think it's important to note, even for the Nintendo games that were shown here, it's not like a surefire prediction that they're going to be on the Switch. I think it's likely because, you know, it's just, you know, a little port action here.
I almost
here
feel
there.
Like that's false advertising, though.
You know,
like,
well,
even especially the Skyrim one, because, like, has Bethesda made anything for Nintendo? And so for that to be, like, as shown on the console, it's like that, like I said, it's almost like how NBA 2K17 shown on there. It's like if that game doesn't end up being on there, that doesn't make any damn sense.
You know, and I would be curious about the legality of any sort of false advertising case against Nintendo or against these other guys for showing this. But, you know, this is just like the GameCube demo of that Zelda game, that little loop that played with Link and Ganondorf fighting.
That's
Mario 128. There's plenty of examples of this.
No, but listen, that's different because that was advertising a game that didn't exist. It's like these games like NBA 2K17 exists. Skyrim exists. You know, they're showing these games being played on this system. So that's different. It's like that Zelda thing was a demo where it's like it's not part of like an actual title that's sure. being announced. So
that is
for me,
important distinction.
I would feel like it's false advertising because it's one thing if they're talking about like Mario Kart and Splatoon being shown on there, but it's like for Skyrim and NBA 2K17, these aren't games that have been on Nintendo systems before. Yeah. So I can't imagine. I don't even think those developers were making games for Nintendo consoles. For those to be shown, it wouldn't make any sense to me. Especially the whole NBA 2K17. They got a whole like fucking basketball skit about that. It's like, come on, man. That game is totally gonna come out on there. And if it's not, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So I hope it does. I mean, even so, Skyrim's an incredibly old game. So I don't know if anybody's really missed it that wants to play it at this point. There's an interesting article on Kotaku as well, where they had sort of followed the story of one of the actors inside of the video. He was the guy who was drawing up the map. He had curly red hair in the Splatoon scenes. Now, this guy had been on Twitch streaming and just talked about his experience doing the filming, and he said allegedly that nobody who acted in the commercial actually played any Switch games, so that was demo content that was loaded in post-production. Now, I would be inclined to say the same thing because filming something in, like, that's a handheld, there's all sorts of glares that can happen, all sorts of things that can distort the image, and they don't want that with their shiny new console. So I am pretty sure that this is actually what they did. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? I would hope that every game that was there comes out. I think it would be just a massive PR nightmare for the Switch to come out and Skyrim to just kind of fall into obscurity, especially with how much they use that on there. I mean, you think they could have put like a Nintendo game, they could have put Zelda in that place again.
Oh, no, they showed Skyrim was message, one of the longest shown. I think it was the longest shown game
message,
in that trailer.
It might have been. And the message being here that, hey guys, we're going to have third parties this time. Maybe. Or at least games that are like 5 years old. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The interesting thing to me is just the implications of perhaps a Nintendo game's not coming out. I think that would be the case where you really, you know, lose a lot of favor with the fans.
Yeah. Well, I think there's reasons that they're, you know, saying none of this is confirmed. Because, you know, a lot of that stuff, normally they want to have like an official announcement, even though it's you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this thing is coming out. But I don't see a reality where any of those games don't show up on that system. Now, I feel like there might be some, like, as far as Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon are concerned, there might be some form of, like, porting where it's like maybe you don't have to buy a whole new game, or maybe it's not a whole new game that's being released.
They're going to sell too.
There's a penny to be made.
Price.
Nintendo will be there. With their wallets.
They're going to say, Rich is going to come out and say, remade from the ground up. We added three characters.
Oh my gosh. Can we just have a little mini rant for a second on how Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. If any of you guys have played that game, Reggie fucking Fils-Aimé sat there and said, this game's been remade from the ground up.
From the ground up.
Play the game. It's the exact same game except you don't have this feature in co-op where both of you can bounce on an enemy, which means that half the time, like, one of you is dying, like, every two seconds. Even though we had fun with it, but then you get a last world of, like, 9 extra levels, and this is remade from the ground up.
Nice. But I think the...
But NRAM, for a second, I have to say for a second, that fucking world was phenomenal.
It was
like
great.
It was incredible. It was almost worth that entire game purchase to get there.
The two-player mode, I think the problem was RAM limitations, that once you hit the enemy, it doesn't have, the 3DS doesn't have enough RAM to like have that enemy in sort
it's
of
so
stasis.
Weird though, because that totally, like, that feature being in the game made it work. And I'll tell you, man, Retro Studios, that's just a testament to them, how like that was such an intelligent game design concept where it's like, I've always thought in Mario, like, sometimes when you bounce on enemies, how come they don't last long enough for, you know, if you're playing co-op, you can do that. Whereas, like, they designed this game where I can bounce on an enemy and you get, like, a, what is it, like a 1.5 second window for your co-op partner to also bounce on an enemy.
Right, because sometimes so enemies
you can traverse planes to
the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, it so awesome. I don't know. But then you didn't have that in the 3DS version. It's like, man, this game kind of falls apart in some levels.
Right.
But and just that still phrase, fun nonetheless.
From the ground up, I've heard it too many times. And I look at the remake and it's like, oh, looks like they just, you know,
we've compiled the exposure
and adjusted the saturation on the graphics and called it a new game.
This is bullshit from the ground up.
Yeah. This man. So that's about it for the news, guys. If you're again, wait, if you're
no, we're forgetting something.
Oh God! If you call this newsworthy, go ahead.
The Pokemon Go Halloween event.
Pokemon Go Halloween event.
I mean, it's something.
Tell the
Fuck
people
you.
About it. Tell the people.
So there's actually a cool. No. But listen, I think this is probably the coolest thing this game has done.
It's,
like
it's
in
cool.
a long time. So through October 26th, which starts tomorrow, or today, because that's when we'll upload. It starts, it's October 26th through October 31st, so until Halloween, where honestly the least cool part of that new, you know, this little event that they're doing is that spooky type Pokemon show up more frequently. So that includes Ghastly, Haunter, Gengar, you've also got Zubat and Golbat. That's a big fuck you to everyone. Yeah.
Well,
and, as if we don't see as if we don't see enough of him already. Like that's like, can we have like a Pidgey Day or something? Like, yeah. What else is new? Fuck that. No. Then you also see Drowsy and you also see Drowsy and Hypno, which you know, totally makes sense. Which is funny because you know, I was reading a comment on Twitter where somebody was saying like, what. Well, why the heck, or how the heck is Hypno considered spooky? And then this guy pulls up, he's like, here's an example of Hypno's Pokédex entries. Yellow, avoid eye contact if you come across one. It will try to put you to sleep by using its pendulum. Gold version, when it is very hungry, it puts humans it meets to sleep. Then it feasts on their dreams. Fire red, it carries a pendulum-like device. There was once an incident in which it took away a child it hypnotized. I'd say he's pretty fucking spooky. So, yeah, Hypno, yeah, that actually totally makes sense. You know the one who's missing is Abra. I don't know why Abra, Kadabra, or Alakazam aren't part of that, which really pisses me off because I actually need Alakazam because I don't have one, so fuck you guys. But I was going to say that's the least cool part about the event. The really cool thing is that everything through that time period is double. So, like, when you catch a Pokemon, instead of getting 3 candies, you get 6. For every kilometer you walk, you get 4 candies instead of 1. Or, sorry, for every 3 kilometers, or whatever your kilometer meter is on your Pokemon. Some guys it's 1, some guys it's 3, some guys it's 5. And then, on top of that, every Pokemon you transfer to the professor, you get 2 candies instead of 1. So, I really like this because it means that, like, for people playing in the stretch, you're really going to get rewarded. Like, even for me, like, what this event has made me do is I kind of have been planning out my days of, like, how, where I want to go when, and what, how many guys I want to catch, and, like, which guys I want to make my buddies so that I can, like, you know, benefit from that for the most. And I don't know, I think it's, like, the coolest thing they've done since this game came out. Those candy bonuses are something serious, man.
Could be. So for those of you still playing the game, all 14 of you, enjoy that.
You know, no, I'll say this though. When I went to the Charmander Park, there was actually a ton of people playing the game. You know what I will say though?
Those are the freaks.
Why is it?
Freaks will come for the Charmander. You're one of them. If you're in a park at 1 in the morning looking for Charmanders, you're a freak.
All right, listen, motherfucker. Now, you know, can I say something though,
I've done
man?
That before too.
Can I say something? Michael and I here are blue team. I originally wanted to be red team only because red's my favorite color, but I'm so glad you saved me from that. Although yellow team would have been alright too.
Red team's full of assholes. You know who you are.
No, listen. Why is red team, like, why do they always wear shirts and have, like, stickers on their car and shit? Like, this game's just like... It's like, but no, but then they're like fucking like 26 years old. Like, I don't.
Because they're assholes.
What is up with red team, man?
They're assholes. And yellow team. I didn't. What are you talking about with this yellow team? There's not a yellow team. It's red and blue.
If you had to describe red team besides assholes, what would you say? Likes Nickelback.
Let me think about this for a second. So, red team is like the YouTube comment section of Pokemon Go. It's like the Twitter reply section of Pokemon Go, where no one can enjoy anything. You know, you take a gym, you put your guy there, they just wait there. They wait there outside. They use their spoofing technologies, and they take it right back. I feel that they're those people. The people that...
You mean like the scum of the earth?
Just meh. Almost switches as a Wii U with a controller that detaches, which in a sense it is, but let me enjoy this, damn it. I haven't had a Nintendo console with just buttons and sticks
I hope none of you listeners are red team Pokemon Go players.
If you are, you're fucked up real bad.
If you are, you can change factions once. I think they put that in one of their updates. So, you know, get yourself right, man.
Well, I mean, but right. Every good story needs a villain, so you mean you could stay there too. Matthew, let's move on from that wonderful piece of news. Well, let's stay on that for a second. Do you think they're going to do something for Christmas?
Oh, hell yeah. And probably
if they do something for Christmas, are they offending someone? Is there going to be a Jewish holiday for Pokemon Go?
Or are they going to have more meowths? Are they going to have Kwanzaa? I just got that.
Full disclosure, we're Jewish.
Yeah, so we can say this. We can get away with it. Maybe. But, man, Meowth, that is funny, man.
Yeah. So,
are there any other stingy Pokemon?
I wouldn't even say Meowth is stingy. He has a coin on his head. So I thought, you know, let's take it a jab, guys.
You Smash understand. 64, you'd throw a Pokeball, and when Meowth comes out, he throws coins at everybody.
Yeah,
just payday. Pissing away money. As a Jew, that just hurts me on the inside. It just hurts. Pissing away that money. No, yeah, that's actually a really good point, though. I haven't thought about that. And, you know, that's the thing that's happened in America as a standard. And with that being said, it's funny because Christmas takes precedence over everything when it's like there's plenty of people who don't celebrate Christmas, you know, and we kind of undermine other holidays. And so it would be weird if, like, Pokemon Go does something specific for Christmas and not for, like, other holidays. You know how they can avoid that is just by doing something for, like, pretty much the whole month, you know?
Give us those candies, the gifting season, as they call it now.
Gifting of candies.
It's not a holiday, it's not Christmas, it's the gifting season.
I feel like they'll do something for Thanksgiving. I feel like they'll do something for Thanksgiving, too. I hope what they do on Black Friday is make every Pokemon you want show up at home, so you stay the whole home and don't go shopping.
That's true.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. But we'll see. I mean, this is like, I don't know. I feel like they'll do stuff like this every once in a while. Just like, you know, they're gonna catch a chunk of people here and they're going to probably buy something. So that's, I imagine, the idea here. Let's move on to the bonus stage.
Bonus stage.
So, the Nintendo Switch. It's a screen. You dock it in the toaster. You clip on the other pieces and you take it with you. But I'm curious about the controller sort of clipping on, as well as this thing some people are saying where they only want the console or they only want the handheld, even though it's going to be a package, guys. I have a question of what do you think people are going to do? What kind of ideas are we going to see with any sort of Nintendo add-ons? If we know anything about Nintendo, it's that they like to sell you extra pieces of plastic. You know, with the Wii, you're going to need an Unchuck with that Wii, and you're going to need a Classic controller with that Wii. You're going to need a Wii Motion Plus with that Wii controller. You also, you're throwing this through your TV, so you're going to need this condom to protect you. And, you know, this is the same carried through the Wii U. We've got the Ultimate Accessory Amiibos. We've got the GameCube controller adapter for Super Smash Bros. We've got the Pokken Tournament controller. So I'm curious, what are we going to see here? And I got to throw in before you have the chance to. What I want to see here, which is when that Smash Bros. Port comes, and I believe it's going to come. I want
a new Smash.
GameCube controller like mounts clipped on the side, so I can play with the GameCube controller on the go. But
what about
in
the cord?
Living room? No. So what I'm saying here is you got your tablet,
mm-hmm.
and instead of clicking on the Joy-Con, you have a separate accessory that Nintendo's selling where it's just like the GameCube pieces, those two handles, and you clip them on. And they've got like L and R button, and they got an extra Z button on the right side. I got the C stick placement just right, and it just feels good. That's what I want. That's what I want.
That would be crazy. Can Make I just that. Say I Make really that. Hope Smash doesn't get ported?
Oh, I just want to get ported.
I know, but that's what like that's what I don't
they're
want
gonna,
that system
they're gonna
to
port
be.
That
is,
and
like,
they're gonna
they
make a new
port.
Smash.
No, but see,
they're gonna do both.
They can't have two Smashes on the same console.
They're gonna do that.
It just won't work because not enough changes in Smash from game to game for them to justify that. And I feel like people won't feel the need to buy another Smash game if they already get Smash 4.
I mean, they're gonna have the graphics. They're gonna have new characters. They're gonna have
more Fire Emblem anime characters.
And this may very well be Sakurai's last Smash Brothers game, even though he keeps saying that after Melee. So maybe we'll even get a totally different direction of what it is. Maybe it'll be a hero shooter. Oh,
please, no more Sakurai. No more anime sword characters that American and European and anybody but Japanese people care about. Please, give me King K. Rool. Anyways,
and USA apparently. So Matthew, what other add-ons do you think they might make?
Man,
do you think there's like an NES
question.
Add-on? Do you think there is like a? Do you think there's any other reductions?
It's funny you posing that question. I didn't even think about that, and that's going to be like a huge thing for them. Like just to sell little accessories that you can attach to the gamepad. Or
customize your experience.
Yeah, I feel like they'll definitely. Hell, they'll probably even make like custom Joy-Cons, like with like maybe like one has like a character theme on it or something like that. I could see them doing something like that.
You're even finding some way to have like an arcade like joystick. I don't know how you would engineer that to make sense.
Yeah, like it gives you like different joysticks, or maybe one gives you like a different kind of buttons. That's a really good point, though. I honestly didn't think about that. As far as what I'd like to see, Man, oh man. I just hope the Pro Controller is awesome. That's my thing. I just hope it's a good controller. It feels good.
Well, according to the guy and the actor, the controller allegedly felt very comfortable.
That's awesome.
He was holding the Pro.
Yeah, I really liked the way the Pro Controller looked. Even the guy, there's a part in the trailer at the end where after they hook up Splatoon to the TV, a guy like picks it up and they have a close-up on it. And it's like that controller feels like it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. It looks like a combination of what Nintendo's done along with some of the advances that people like PlayStation and Xbox have really made to a controller design to make it feel and function well, and just sort of the best of both worlds. Let's talk about reductions. Do you think there is eventually a handheld only version of this?
See, and that's one thing I wanted to hit on. I know you mentioned it earlier. Can I just say like what the hell is wrong with people? Like, I don't understand. It's like when you get these people who are like, I want only a... There was a guy I was reading who was saying, like, I'll only buy this if they end up making a console-only version. I'm like, you can literally use it that way. It's like, it is only an option to take it with you. Like, that makes no... I'm telling you, man. Video game people, you guys are the hardest people to please. Where it's like, people just give you options and options and options. They're just like, no, I need you to take something away because... Ugh. I don't even know. It just, it angers me. Or even like a handheld only version. It's like, dude, this thing's already a fucking handheld. What do you need it to be handheld only? All it's saying is like, dude, if you want to put it on your big ass TV, you can totally do that. And it's like, nah, man, it's not gonna work, man. You're not getting my fucking money this time, Nintendo.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it could be interesting. Sort of a 3DS, 2DS situation where they cut out the whole Switch functionality, but then
Switch.
Then they come out with the whole problem that the 2DS has, just like the 2DS.
Oh yeah, and the 2DS
can
was
I buy,
stupid.
Can I
this
buy
DDS
this 3DS
and
game
shit.
And play it on my 2DS? I don't know. I thought the 2DS
was stupid as shit, man. It's like it's a
but
cool
it's selling well.
Yeah, I mean,
people like it.
I liked it that it was a cheaper alternative, and I think that's the only reason people are asking about this. But man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, ask for there's this 2 years
damn,
down the line.
Look, there's all these damn Nintendo fans that claim they're like Nintendo diehards, and then they're the main ones telling you how they didn't buy a Wii U or how they won't buy this system because it's not this, and they'll only buy a Nintendo system that's like $200. And I'm like, you call yourselves Nintendo fans? You know what? Fuck you guys.
You make me sick.
Seriously, you guys, and I'm not even kidding. That literally disgusts me, like how many people I saw saying that crap. And it's like, how do you even call yourselves fans? And it's like, how are you saying you support these people? And it's like, you literally, like, you won't spend more than $200 on a Nintendo console? Or, I just don't get
it. Well, and I would walk that back myself and say, you know, it's not your job as a fan or someone who likes Nintendo stuff to support
I
everything
get that,
you do.
But it's like,
Here's what I tell you about this. From people protesting, essentially protesting the type of games that were being had on the Wii and the Wii U, even though the Wii sold, you know, just crazy amounts of units. I think that all of the ill will toward the Nintendo faithful that Nintendo had garnered in that stage is leading them to make the choices here. Because what they assumed with the Wii was that, oh, you fuckers are on board for anything, so we're going to just do this, and you're going to play it because it has Mario on it. And they kept, you know, some of that Nintendo core with them. And then with the Wii U, they're like, you know, we got you, Grandma. You fuckers will buy anything. So we're going to sell you the Wii U. And there's a pattern of this for every single developer. You know, with the Xbox One, it's just like, man, you fuckers will buy anything. So this system, you can't even share games. And the PS4 Pro is, man, you fuckers will buy anything. So this is a PlayStation 4 with slightly better graphics. We just turned a knob a little bit and then manufactured a new system. And this is the situation where Nintendo's walking it back. They're having that PlayStation 4 moment. They're having that Xbox One S moment where they understand that they've kind of messed up before and that they're going to, you know, make things better now. I will say, though, to those people who are, you know, this is a buy or not buy decision, it's not going to knock that much money off of your price anyway. I mean, essentially, all that docking station is doing is making it play on the TV.
No, exactly.
It's rumor like, has it that it adds processing power. So it may very well be necessary for particular games, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's just some sort of mechanism to dock it in there. It puts the image on
the TV. My whole point before, though, in saying that, though, is that it's not that it means, like, if you're a fan, you just line up and buy anything. Look, I'm the biggest person to say it still has to be a quality
buy Color Splash
product. Well, no, like, even
calls
just
himself a Nintendo fan.
Shut the hell up. I'm not splashing around in that shithole. No, but I mean, look, even you and I have talked about, and this is completely unrelated, but like Michael and I like some animes, and one anime we grew up on was Dragon Ball Z. Everybody loved Dragon Ball Z. But so, you know, we're big fans of Dragon Ball. And it's like, I don't know if any of you have had the privilege of watching the, you know, shit-tastic, whatever you want to call it, that is known as Dragon Ball Super. But it's like, I will be
Ball
the
pooper.
Biggest. Yeah, seriously, it's like, I love Kotaku wrote an article, it says Dragon Ball Super looks super crappy, and it's like, but seriously, it's like, look, I love Dragon Ball, but I will not sit there and watch a show because it's bullshit, it's terrible quality, it looks worse than a show that came out like 20, 25 years before it. I'm not going to do that. So I totally agree with, like, just because I'm a fan of something doesn't mean I'm going to blindly, you know, do or follow whatever they have for me, but at the same time, it's like when you have all these like standards, like it's the Nintendo people, the ones saying like it needs to be $200. It needs to have a handout only version. It needs to, when it's like you got all the other people like, dude, I'm sold. It's like, seriously, like, fuck you guys. Like,
yeah,
I don't get that.
I think they're going to really capture
the
average
show. You're the reason they're not doing well. And you're the reason why they're not making a Metroid Prime 4 like all you guys keep bitching about. It's like you want Metroid Prime 4, but then you didn't buy Metroid Prime. You know, like, doesn't make sense.
That's true. If no one buys this, they won't make those, like, you know, more niche games. They're gonna stick to their guns. Like, you know, we'll get six more Mario parties. We'll get maybe one more Donkey Kong, and we'll go from it from there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I want my damn GameCube edition with the Super Smash Bros. Don't be giving me this weak shit. This like 3DS circle pad type of shit. I want the full Smash Brothers experience. So, Nintendo, I'm talking directly to you. hey, manufacture
can
that.
Can I say something? Speaking of circle pads, you know what's really interesting? Do you know the original Wii U gamepad concept had circle pads?
It sure did. I'm glad I didn't have that eventually.
That would have been atrocious.
I mean, it works fine.
The thing about the circle pad is I feel like it gives me carpal tunnel.
It works fine on most games, but like a game like Smash, you can't maneuver.
So much strain,
can't make those frame-by-frame adjustments that are so essential.
I don't know.
To
my thumb always gets sore playing my 3DS. That's one thing I really don't like about it. I do not like the circle pad.
Something's wrong with his thumb. Full disclosure. He doesn't have a real thumb. It's a prosthetic one. So that is the show, Matthew. This is a short one. Let's see what we're counting out here. 40 minutes. Well, and this is even some stuff that we'll probably cut out, so it's gonna be some kind of time around that, but you know, about as long as the next episode, so or the last episode, so I'm okay with it. You feel good?
I feel good.
Anything,
man.
You have to get off your chest?
I really want a Nintendo Switch.
Me too. Man, GameStop hasn't called me back about my pre-order.
Of course they haven't. They probably sold it to somebody else. Like they sold your Wii U to somebody else. So, funny story. They sold... Michael bought a Wii U, paid for it in full, and the GameStop he bought it from sold it. And he tried to pick it up on Black Friday. He's like, hey, man, you can't expect us to hold that. So...
Well, they said their bosses,
GameStoppers are listening.
Their bosses told them that they had to go ahead and sell it.
Like, what type of business is that? You know, fuck those guys.
Yeah, so I got my down payment back and bought it from Walmart.
Cash. They had to like go get cash from, would they have to go to the bank?
Yeah, GameStops don't really carry much cash on there because they're only giving you like $3 for your games.
Bam!
Anyway, if you guys manage to pre-order one of these and get someone to promise you that you're going to have one on day one, let us know. We need one. Real bad.
Really bad? So we can continue
if we
bringing
know,
this amazing content.
Here's how this deal works. If we find out, we'll tell you. Okay? We'll shake on that. We'll shake later. So this concludes We the People. Episode 3 is in the books. We had 2 episodes. One episode is a bonus episode. That's in a different category. There's a couple lost episodes that you can get if you really get on our good side. But this is episode 3, and so we're closing it out. Remember, We the People is a podcast and video podcast occasionally that posts every Wednesday on YouTube and iTunes. We are a product of the Bento Block, so if you're interested in stuff like this, go check out thebentoblock.com and you get exposed to vlogs, you get exposed to video essays on your favorite video games, as well as some TV shows and movies that you might like. I haven't done movies yet, but I've got a couple TV shows that I want to do. In any case, some other stuff on there as well. So be sure to visit that if you would be so kind as to subscribe to this podcast or subscribe to the channel itself. Like, comment, donate through our Patreon, all that shit. It all helps. It all helps into making this dream a reality where we can do this type of work full time, make it bigger, make it better, make it fatter. And so, yeah, we really appreciate you listening to this episode. And we will see you next time. We're out.
Deuces.